This week we finished our readings in the book of Job, and we've had several remembrances lately that have focused on the suffering of Job and the suffering of Christ and what that means for us and how we can make comparisons and see the types and shadows between the two figures of Job and Jesus. But this morning I wanted to focus on four short verses that we read towards the beginning of the book of Job, if you can think back to a couple of weeks ago, that stood out to me in Job chapter 9, starting in verse 32. Job, as he's going through this suffering, and he's marred so much that his friends don't even recognize him and immediately start to weep as they see him, because he is unrecognizable because of all the physical suffering that he has taken on at that time. And Job here says in verse 32 of chapter 9, "For God is not a man as I am, that I may answer him, that we may go to court for judgment together. There is no mediator between us who may lay his hand upon us both. Let him remove his rod from me, and let not dread of him terrify me. Then I would speak and not fear him, but I am not like that in myself." And so we notice here a couple of things that Job points out. And first, in verse 33, that Job is desiring a mediator, an adjudicator, an intercessor, if you will, a judge that could stand between him and God and lay his hand on them both and help resolve this situation that he sees between himself and God. And then also in verse 35, what strikes me there is that Job is desiring a way that he can approach God without fear. Again, someone to intercede between him and God, a mediator. And the Hebrew writer describes this better than I could. Over in Hebrews chapter 4, we see several verses in the book of Hebrews. In chapter 4, starting in verse 14, it says, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us take hold of our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who is Jesus, who has been tempted in all things like we are, yet without sin. So therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of our need." Further down in chapter 5, starting in verse 7, says, "He, being Jesus, in the days of his flesh, offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation." Continuing in chapter 7, verse 25, we see, "Therefore Jesus is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." And so two things I want us to remember as we take the Lord's Supper this morning, and we remember Jesus and the price that he paid for our sins, is first that Jesus suffered, and he knows what that's like. We read in Isaiah chapter 53 and 52 as well that Jesus was marred beyond any man, unrecognizable, similar to what we read from Job. But unlike Job, Jesus suffered willingly. Jesus suffered willingly. Number two, that when we suffer, Jesus is there for us. He knows what that's like. He's our mediator. He's our intercessor. He is that judge, that one that Job was pleading for, who could put his hand on both parties and understand what that's like to go through that suffering. Leave you with one final passage before we take the Lord's Supper. that I believe summarizes this best. In Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 31, Paul says, "What then shall we say to all these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who indeed did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. So therefore, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will affliction or turmoil or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were counted as sheep for the slaughter. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loves us." And here's what we're remembering this morning. Here's the key to all this regarding our suffering and the suffering of Christ. And for I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.